Well, welcome back. Here we are once again and to have another discussion or a further discussion with Brother Gary Moon and Sister Melissa Holden. Gary, throughout your years of being involved, we've had some people move themselves up and work themselves very hard to get to where they went to in our national union. How far back and who can you remember that has moved on to become a national representative or a coordinator or anything like that?
Well, just prior to when I first started here, left just prior to that was Frank Kenny that came out of Standard Tube. He became an international rep and headed up the negotiations for the Ford chain here in Canada and down in the U.S. He is actually was located out of Oakville with where his office was. Then we had Noel Stooley, who mentored myself and Jim Farrell as young guys to move on in the union movement that got a leave from the UAW to go to the CLC to the education department. He ended up going out west, looking after the western provinces on education with CLC, and then after a number of years was moved back to Ottawa, where he became the Canadian director of education and international affairs for the CLC, which he traveled around the world on behalf of labor. We had Dave Weiss, who was the GM chair out of the warehouse and also the master chair of the bargaining for the GM negotiations. In later years got moved on to the GM coordinator, where he overseen issues of all the GM plants on behalf of the union. There was Sue Houston out of General Motors that moved on with the national to work under the unemployment equity sector of the union. We had Kellyanne Orr that sat on the executive board with myself, Brent, and Melissa at one point in time out of Woodingford Lodge that has moved on as a rep there for Unifor and has now become the assistant to the national office. We also had Kelly Jansen out of our amalgamated local that came with us from 2163, which is now a part of 636. She was out of healthcare. Kelly Jansen was a rep at one time representing all sectors of our local here, and now is under the healthcare sector of the union.
Yeah, she was the president of 2163, and now 2163 is part of our local, right?
So, right. Yeah. And then there was Don LaRue that took over as president of 2163 after Kelly Jansen went on staff, and has now since gone on staff herself within the national union.
And of course, the obvious one is Bob White. Bob White went on to be the president of the CAW and the founding president of the CAW, to be quite honest. So we've had some pretty good people that are involved and have ties to 636 that have moved up and won a long ways. It's quite rewarding. And I mean, just we have honorary guests such as Bob Orr and stuff like that. I think Bob, he just wants to be a part of Bob White's local. So I make him pay dues here. So we have fun with good old friends like Bob Orr and Deb Twite, Julie Heron, and the list goes on. So I will make note that the longest sitting president here at Local 636, was my dear friend and one of my many mentors in Ross Geary. He sat on as the sitting president for 27 years. You must have did a lot of bargaining with people. Like, you had a really healthy, lengthy, very knowledgeable history list, I would say, of the names. But I bet you and Ross have probably went through a lot of rounds of bargaining.
Yes, well, I'm just myself alone. I was a part of 9 sets of negotiations at Standard Tube / Archer over the years of my involvement with the union at the plant. Many a times Ross would get a hold of myself, Jim Farrell, and sit down and discuss issues difficult sets of negotiations, different plants within our local, just to get a cross section of our thoughts and ideas on how to further challenge some of the issues that were at hand and stuff like that there. So it was quite an interesting thing, but it also, it kept you up to date on the needs and the issues of the membership in the local. Just because you came out of parts of ply plant didn't always show you what was going on somewhere else in the industry here that wasn't related to the same concept. So it was an eye-opener, and it was very productive.
Yeah, GM and Standard Tube used to chase each other, right? With whatever GM would get, we would get. Whatever we would get, GM would fight to get here in Woodstock and stuff. So back in the early 80s, or the late 80s, early 90s, Local 636 was made up of more manufacturing and auto and stuff like that. What year did we really, and it's kind of shameful, but I'm kind of glad with some of the direction that our union, national union, CAW and Unifor had taken us, is now it's, I'm proud to say that we have 50% healthcare and 50% manufacturing. So what year did we really start getting healthcare into the local? You remember like a ballpark? It must have been mid-90s or something like that, wouldn't it be, Gary?
I think it was, if I'm right, it was around 1993, 94 area where it started to really come forward with other directions of the union, other unions such as SEIU separating and coming with us, and, you know, different things like that, which led up finally to in 2013 when we became Unifor. We also amalgamated with a lot of other unions under the Energy and Chemical and Paper Workers Union, which has given us more diversity. Our cross-section now is we're involved in most industries and healthcare institutions across the whole of Canada from coast to coast to coast, which gives us a lot stronger bargaining power and support to stay on the needs of the general membership and their future.
So I'm going to just switch over and ask just Melissa real quick, because Melissa comes from Woodingford Lodge, and Woodingford Lodge, I think, was one of our first big healthcare workplaces that joined Local 636. Were you working at Woodingford when the transition from your first union to CAW took place? Do you remember when that was?
I want to say it was around 2000. We were with SEIU, and we came over. It's a bit of a controversy. Unifor was accused of raiding SEIU for a lot of healthcare members.
Well, at that time it would have been CAW, right?
CAW. Yeah. We came over with a large group of people. I'm not sure who had come over before us, but I started working at Woodingford in 97, and then we weren't SEIU very long before we came over to CAW. It was a big change for us how things were managed and the direction that our union took. I know after that was the first time that we actually had a information picket at Woodingford Lodge. We had never done anything like that before. All our bargaining was not really bargaining. It kind of went to conciliation and that was it. So you kind of were given what was offered to you, and there was no bargaining around healthcare. So when we moved into the CAW, that was the first time that we actually had experienced collective bargaining and the way that it is now, the way that you bargain a contract with Woodingford Lodge. That was our first venture into that.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is because without the CAW bringing in healthcare, some of the names that, for example, Kelly Jansen and Don LaRue and Kellyanne Orr, they wouldn't be a part of our union and Unifor, and we wouldn't be able to have the incredible the opportunity to sit here and brag about people from 636 going up to, you know, being from the president when it was Bob White, and now we have Kellyanne Orr, who is an assistant to the national office. And, you know, as a sitting president, that's a kind of a feel-good story, right? So, no, and that's the only reason I brought it up, because honestly, right now, if I was to do some quick math, and like I said, it's quick math, we probably have 52 to 48% of a split at the local, or 52% still being manufacturing and auto and food and outside of healthcare, but we have a strong 48% at least of our membership being from the healthcare unit. So I'm kind of happy about that. So, and I mean, if you stop and think about it, now that we're in healthcare, even the Woodstock General Hospital, there's four collective agreements out of there. Right now, I mean, we have the service, we have the clerical, we have now Aramac, that's our new members that we're just about to jump in and do some bargaining with. And we also have the Honeywell, the maintenance guys there. So, I mean, healthcare is a huge part of being successful as a local. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, it was a great transfer for us. And the one thing that we noticed right away was the education piece that came with the CAW that I don't really recollect that being a piece. I mean, I was only there 3 years with the SEIU, but I don't remember that ever being an emphasis that came across from the SEIU. And that's definitely a huge piece to CAW and now Unifor, the education department.
Yeah, because even with people that are trying to grow and expand their wings a little bit, we had a lot of people that got into DLing. And I mean, we had the Steph Johnstons when I was a kid growing up, was first starting at the tube. We had Doug Steele and Steph Johnson that were DLs because I used to go to Port Elgin. Well, you actually sent me to Port Elgin quite a few times, Gary, just to educate and get me involved with the union, right? But no, so, and the more I get of the, and I always brag, educate. And the more I got there, the more involved I got, the more entrenched I got. And I mean, I'm not saying that I've accomplished all my goals yet, because every day is an adventure and I always like to challenge myself, but I'm very proud to say that I am the local president, city local president, after Ross was there for 27 years. But, you know, Gary, I just wanted to thank you for your time. Thank you for your knowledge. And I'm sure if we have some...
I want to ask another question, a few minutes. Do you want to talk to us about the Education Center and how that came to be?
Okay, so the Education Center in Port Elgin was originally a church camp, and had the Black Lake over in the U.S. when it was UAW. And very seldom could anybody from Canada get selected to go over there. It was mostly all the candidates to go every summer for educational programs, whereas a limited number in Canada, the rest was out of the U.S.
Where was this located?
It was in Port Elgin, Ontario. And it was called Goebbels Grove at the time, down at the bottom end towards the lake. And it was a church camp. And it was cabins and a motel unit and a cookhouse and things like that. And that's where the education started under Bob White and things like that with... I'll think about it. Anyways.
Walter Reuther.
No, it was after Walter Reuther. He was our Canadian director there from out of Windsor. I'll think of his name here in a minute. But anyway.
I know you will.
It was quite the camp. And then later on, they decided to tear that down and build a new center there that when we broke away from the UAW and have the education. It's just like a college up there. The big emphasis is Bob White was always big on educating the members, to give them an opportunity to grow and understand the union. And that became a big thing, and it still is today. And it's
knowledge is power, right?
A lot of wonderful courses are taught up there. I mean, people can go up there and learn on the Stewart's Training Collective, bargaining, human rights, health and safety, you name it, it's there to educate you to be able to look after the membership in their best interests.
Very good. Well, before I get in shit, is there any more questions that you have? So, any more questions, Melissa, for Gary, or we're going to let Gary go? And if we think of some more, I mean, we can always invite our friend back
to do another round. Good. So,
Gary, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your knowledge and your friendship and your loyalty to 636. You help both Melissa and I become and stay successful, and I appreciate you very much, and I appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, you take care and play safe, and remember, if I need to know more, I will call upon you. Not a problem.
I was going to say my phone's out of order.